of transcending peace. When the world around us turns astray, we come here not to escape, but to rest, rejoice, and turn our minds on things that are worthy. Help us not to be anxious about anything, but to turn to you in everything, knowing you are near. In your holy name, we pray. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning again, and welcome to all of you joining us in person, online, and over the airwaves. We're so glad you're worshiping with us today. For our listeners, remember to visit our website where you can find a bulletin for today's worship service under the Worship tab, as well as our newsletter under the Media tab. Our website address is www.trinitypreslbg.com. For in-person congregation, please sign the attendance pad found in the pew pockets at the center end of each pew. Please pass the pad down to others sitting on the same pew. This month, we are collecting canned vegetables and pasta of any kind for church community services. All donations can be dropped off in the Nortex. Looking at this week's calendar on the back of your bulletin, the session will meet in the Fellowship Hall today following worship. The worship committee will meet on Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. in the church office. The Trinity Singers will rehearse on Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. in the sanctuary. This month's or March newsletter deadline is on Thursday. Please submit all newsletter items to the church office by Thursday. Looking ahead to next Sunday, we will have adult Sunday school, middle school Sunday school, and pre-worship singing. We will also celebrate Scout Sunday during worship. Today, we welcome Elizabeth back in the pulpit and Ivy on the piano. Thank you both for sharing your talents with us. Elizabeth, do you have any announcements?
I do. I just want to mention that starting at the beginning of March, I'll be leading a study on the book of Revelation. And so that will be during the Sunday school hour. And so if you are interested in being a part of that, if you could let me know, because I'll be this week ordering the materials and getting everything prepared so that we can have that for everyone. So if you'd like to join in that group, we'd love to have you come and join us. And if you just let me know, I'd appreciate it. And now, in the ancient tradition of the church, we will stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another and remain standing for our call to worship. Here in the sanctuary, we just stand and wave because we don't want to share germs like the flu I just got over. And so we will just wave. But if you're listening online, we invite you also to text one another saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." And if you receive such a text, like I did when I was out sick, if you would reply by saying, "And also with you." Let us stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another. And now let us join our voices together in our call to worship. I will read the part in regular print, and if you would join me in the part in bold. How beautiful are the places where you dwell, O Lord. This house cannot contain your glory. Even the heavens are bursting with the goodness of your presence. Happy are those who find their strength in you. Hear our prayers this day, Holy God, as we proclaim your praises to all the earth. And then let us join our voices together in proclaiming those praises to all the earth as we sing hymn number 281, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. The words are in the hymnal or also on the screen or in your bulletin. Thank you.
we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins to God. Please join in the prayer of confession, printed in your bulletin. Sovereign God,
we confess that we have not turned away from sin.
We celebrate our achievements and look down on our neighbors.
We boast about our virtues and deny the worth of others. Forgive us, God of grace.
Be merciful to us, for we are indeed sinners in great need of redemption. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me
have some moments of silence for personal confession. Friends, hear the good news. Whether we are close or whether we are standing far off, God's love in Jesus Christ seeks us out and gathers us in. This is good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Invite Anna Phelps to come forward for our time with young disciples.
Good morning. Today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about attitude. You may have heard your mom use this term with you before, but we're going to use it in a different context. So, Kinsey, what is your favorite game to play?
It could be a sport, a board game, anything.
Softball. What about you, Casey? Soccer. Okay, good. Now, when you play these sports, do you get sort of competitive? Would you do or say anything at all to win? Yeah. Well, let's say you're playing against a five-year-old. Seems as though you may have some sort of advantage, right? Yeah. Well, it turns out you do, and you decide to use it, and you absolutely annihilate this poor child because you just really want to win so bad. To make matters worse, you celebrate quite loudly, boasting your victory right in front of them. Now this child starts to cry. Maybe they start feeling bad, telling themselves things like, I'm not good enough, or maybe just wishing that they were big like you so that it was more fair. That doesn't seem very nice, does it?
No.
In fact, I would go as far as to say that maybe you don't have the right attitude surrounding your victory. You're not being very compassionate towards your opponent's loss. Today, Elizabeth is going to talk about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. One, you'll see, gloats their righteousness during their prayer and talks down on others, while the other places themselves in prayer before God and admits their sin. While there is no right way to pray, you'll see that the Pharisee doesn't do it with the right attitude. Before we win a game and boast about it to our opponent, or we gloat about our righteousness in front of those who are just trying their best while we pray, let's make sure to stop and do a quick check-in with ourselves. In celebrating your victory, are you going to hurt your opponent? Does your prayer involve talking down on others who are just trying to make ends meet? The next time you go off to pray, think about your attitude surrounding it. Are you praying for other people, or are you praying against them? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together. While we know that sometimes we may go about our lives with the wrong attitude, we know that through your guidance, you can help us find the right one. May we always pray in love, lifting each other up instead of pushing each other down. We pray that we can bring a little bit of heaven to this earth, even if it's just by praying like Jesus would for ourselves and for others. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture comes from Psalm 85. Lord, you are favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God, of your salvation, and put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps.
Thank you, Kinsey. Today's second reading, the gospel reading, comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Listen for the word of the Lord. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. So some of you guys may remember about 15 years ago, this book series came out that was called Eat This, Not That. I think they still have them out there. I think there's many, many different types of them now. But if you remember them, they had in there some very surprising comparisons and contrasts. Information about mostly restaurant foods in the first one. And I remember flipping through this little book and being amazed at some of these comparisons. For example, that the awesome blossom at Chili's, You remember those? Well, that one was an appetizer, but it had as many calories as 13 Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't know about you, but I would choose the donuts. But in case you wondered, actually, Chili's has actually taken that off after this book. They removed that appetizer and probably put something maybe not quite so calorie-laden in it. I was especially surprised by the number of salads in that not list. Many of them that had over 1,000 calories in a salad, which is what you think is supposed to, you're supposed to eat. Well, you know, when I was reading this gospel message, I kept thinking that it reminded me of this book. I have to wonder on the face if it's not something like that, where God is telling us, do this, not that. He's telling us to be like one, not like the other. For this short parable tells us of a Pharisee and a tax collector, both who've gone up to the temple to pray. But they compare them by telling you what they each do. The Pharisee stands by himself. And his long prayer says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, and goes on to list the bad qualities of the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And then the Pharisee tells you what he does well. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Meanwhile, the tax collector is standing far off with his eyes cast down, beating his breast, saying a very short prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And after Jesus tells us about these two people, he tells us that the tax collector is the one that goes home justified rather than the Pharisee. Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So this seems pretty simple, right? Do this, not that. Be like the tax collector, not like the Pharisee. Perhaps many of you, like me, might have been thinking to yourself, maybe congratulating yourself that you were not like the Pharisee. But wait, that thought just made us like the Pharisee. Remember, in his prayer, he compared himself to the other person and thanked God that he was not like the other person. So if we compare ourselves to the Pharisee, and thank God that we're not like the Pharisee, we've just done the same thing. So perhaps we need to look a little bit deeper into this Pharisee, this parable. Perhaps it's more than just do this, not that. So let's look a little bit deeper. Luke starts the passage by telling us who Jesus is speaking to. He says, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. So we read this description of who is hearing this first parable, and we may assume that he's talking about the Pharisees, particularly because if we know the story that's about to happen, we might read into that that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees at this time. We may also remember that Luke has a tendency in other stories to not portray the Pharisees in the best light. But really, Jesus actually doesn't specify who the audience is. And if you look back to the stories right before this, the ones in chapter 17 right before this, you're going to see that there is a mention of some Pharisees, but the primary audience that he's speaking to is his disciples. The fact that it's not specified who he is speaking to indicates that message he is saying is for all who trust in themselves that they are righteous and who treat others with contempt. Probably some Pharisees, but not all Pharisees. And definitely the disciples have had their moments. You guys remember the story where the disciples are walking along arguing about who's the best? They've had some moments. Well, and if we're totally honest, the church today has had its moments as well. And if we're really honest, we have had our moments as well. From the beginning, as Jesus presents this, he tells us he wants us to watch for two things. To watch for the first, who we trust in, and second, how we treat others. Jesus then goes on to tell this parable, and the story only has two characters, this Pharisee and the tax collector. For the original audience, neither of these characters behave in this story in a way that they would expect. The Jews who were listening would have begun with the impression that the Pharisee was pious and righteous, and that the tax collector was sinful and selfish, self-interested. You see, a Pharisee, most would have been respected teachers and religious leaders, those people who we would describe today as walking the walk and talking the talk. The only self-identified Pharisee that we really, really know well, that is described, and we know, if you read the Gospels, if you read the New Testament, can know very well, is Paul. Paul of Tarsus, a Pharisee. But a tax collector was an agent of Rome. They presumed to be corrupt. The reason that they were presumed to be corrupt was simply the way that the tax system worked during this time, because it forced them to be dishonest if they were going to have any income. You see, their pay was the amount that they could get out of people over and above the amount that was taxed and required by Rome. So most people really disliked the tax collectors because they knew that they were taking money from them. But the tax collectors had been put into this situation because that was the only way that they could have an income. Well, these two characters have gone up to the temple to pray, and what happens next is where the expectations of the listeners get flipped, where the script gets flipped. So the Pharisee begins his prayer appropriately with thanks to God. But then he kind of goes off the rails by lifting himself up by comparing himself to others, even to this despised tax collector. He goes on to state that he fasts twice a week and gives tithes of all that he has. This fasting and tithing is not the problem. He actually goes far and above, be above what was required by the Jewish law. The Jewish law, see, just required fasting on the Day of Atonement and required tithing of your produce. So once a year, twice if you were a really good Jew, but he did it twice a week, and only your produce, and it says that he tithed of all that he had, gave a tenth of all that he had. Years ago, one of my professors put it this way: we would all love to have a church full of Pharisees because we'd never again have a problem with the budget. So now let's look at the tax collector for a minute. He's standing far off, eyes cast down, beating on his breast. And the prayer that he says is short and to the point. Compared to the Pharisees, it's about a third the length. He says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The tax collector knows that he is a sinner, and he has come to the temple because it is in the temple that he believes that he can find atonement. It is who he trusts in. It goes back to what Jesus wanted us to watch for. Who do you trust in? How do we treat others? Who do they trust in? The Pharisee seems to trust in himself. He compared himself to others, and he counted his actions as righteousness, earning his own salvation. The tax collector trusted in God. You see, he compared himself with God. And by comparing himself to the holiness of God, it left him only one option, which was to cry for mercy. How do we see that they treated others? Well, the Pharisee, instead of lifting up those others in prayer, he put them down so that he could be lifted up. The tax collector acknowledged that he was a sinner, which, knowing what we know about tax collectors, means that he knew that it was wrong to cheat people. Jesus wants us to evaluate who we trust in. A vital importance of knowing who God is, knowing God, the creator of the universe, knowing what God has done for God's people. God has created us. God justifies us. God loves us. But also knowing who we are in relation to God. God also wants us to evaluate how we treat others, which comes from our knowing God. The tax collector acknowledged that he fell short of all that God desired him to be. And Jesus tells us that by acknowledging this, he was justified. He was made right with God. To put it in modern terms, the tax collector, as he came before God, was being real with God. He was telling him the depths of himself. Now, I'm reminded of an app that came out a few years ago that was called Be Real. I know that my kids from Montreat know about it. It was really this push against the way that social media encourages us to only show our best sides. In social media, you can put a filter on so that you never have any hair out of place or any even wrinkles on your face. You can have photo editing that can just actually shave off whatever you don't like. You can have staging of whatever space you're in so that when you put up a Facebook picture of your house, there's never anything on the counters, or at least not on my counters because it's all over off the screen. And then there's even auto-tune, where the things that we hear on the radio are always perfectly in tune. On Facebook, we do have politics, but we also have people who put up posts, and often they're only their best days. They're often these approved photos. I remember when my kids were in middle school, honestly, they would not let me put up a picture on Facebook unless it had been pre-approved. So it's this idea that we want to make sure that we control what is seen of ourselves. And what we see and what we show, we become less and less real. But this app called Be Real, pushed against that social way of trying to make everything appear that we all have everything all together all the time. So what happened in the app is that you would get a notification, and as soon as you got the notification, you had to take a picture to post up and share on the app. And it would actually be two pictures, one of what's in front of you and one of coming backwards so you would see what was behind you and see yourself. And the goal of this was to be real with one another. And so one year when we were at Montreat, we would all be going around, and all of a sudden we'd hear the notification and everybody would stop and we would take pictures. And it was really fun to see the ways that we can authentically be ourselves, that we can embrace and we can appreciate the realness of life. Well, the tax collector trusted God enough to be real with God, to cry for mercy to the one that he knew could provide mercy. So friends, I ask you, how can we be real? How can we learn from the tax collector? How can we learn to be real with ourselves? How can we learn to be real with one another? How can we learn to be real with God? What does a life look like when we are real with ourselves or with others or with God? What does it sound like in the ways that we speak to one another? What does it look like in what we do in this world? Can we be real with ourselves enough to open ourselves up to growth, to healing, to health? Can we be real with each other enough that we can come together to support one another and show the love of Christ to one another? Can we be real with God enough to keep God at the center of our lives and to share our joys and our sorrows with God? Well, perhaps we can use that do this, not that after all. Perhaps we can say, do this. Bring all of ourselves to God, humbly recognizing that God is God and we are not. Do this, not that. Don't feel like we have to have it all together before we come to God, before we open our hearts in prayer. Remember, the church is not a museum for saints. It is a hospital for sinners. Perhaps it is do this, trust God to love us and to be merciful. Even when God knows the real me and the real you, the real us, with all of our warts and our wrinkles and our gray hair and our pimples, with our inability to do the right thing, with our human proclivity to rely on ourselves rather than to rely on God. Even when God knows our loneliness or our addiction or our selfishness or our inability to trust or our anger or our deep sadness. A friend in my class yesterday reminded me of the importance of being real with one another when he shared the challenges of the week and his broken heart, and he gave me permission to share these with you. He talked about during the week he had experienced sudden health challenges that had required him to go for surgery very quickly to have things done, so he went from being where he thought he was perfectly healthy to now having continuing challenges in his life. In the same week, he was trying to help a member of his church who is impacted by changes in policy which caused the monthly cost of their insulin to rise from $300 to $400, money this elderly person did not have. So literally the church is trying to help this person stay alive. And then another church member where he was providing pastoral care after their father was arrested by ICE. Their father, not a criminal, but an honest worker who's lived here for 40 years, paying taxes but never using any governmental help, not even having a Social Security number. And with all of these, he lives in one of the areas hardest hit from the flooding last fall. And all the people in his church are still struggling to rebuild from houses that had even been washed off the side of the mountain. He shared these things with us with tears in his eyes, and in some way, through the sharing, we were able to help and hold the weight of his burden. We were able to lift and pray for him, to pray for these situations, to trust in God to hear us. And to love. Friends, no matter what you are struggling with anger or loneliness, grief, selfishness, deep emotional or mental or physical fatigue, deep sadness, brokenness of body, spirit, or heart, God knows these things. And God knows even more because God knows and loves all of us. Being real is being willing to come before God humbly, admitting that we are not God and that we need God, as the tax collector did. God already knows us, every part of us, and shows us mercy and love. And through Christ, not through anything that we do, we are made righteous. The tax collector knows that he cannot earn God's righteousness, and so he is real before God, crying out for mercy. And God's response? Jesus' words tell us. He says, "I tell you, this man went down to his home justified. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." In this age of social media and advertising, where so much of what we see is perfect and polished, Jesus challenges us to be real. To be real with ourselves, knowing that our worth comes not from what we do, as the Pharisee presented, but that our worth comes from whose we are. In our baptism, God has claimed us. We are given a new name. Beloved children of God. We are challenged to be real with one another, sharing with one another on this journey of life, supporting one another, praying for one another, and when times are hard, carrying one another or allowing ourselves to be carried. Jesus challenges us to be real with God. To trust that God, who made us and knows even our deepest, darkest moments, loves us. To know that when we confess our sins, as we do each week in worship, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins, to provide mercy, so that we can go home justified. Friends, be real. Trust in God and love one another. I'm going to end with a quote from our favorite Rachel Held Evans from her book Searching for Sunday, which Our Lady Shelf Care used last year. Imagine if every church became a place where everyone is safe, even if no one is comfortable. Imagine if every church became a place where we told one another the truth. We might just create sanctuary. Thanks be to God.
And now, in response to God's word, let us stand and boldly proclaim what we believe using the Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
And now, in response to the great good news, we have an opportunity to respond by giving back just a portion of all that God has given to us as we receive our tithes and offerings. And Ivy will give us the gift of music as an offering that she gives for us to have a moment to sit and remember the goodness of God. Let us receive our tithes and offering. Thank you. Let us pray. O God, we pray that you would take all that we offer here and that you would magnify it, that it might be used to provide for your purposes here in this world, that we might be able to make this world look a little bit more like heaven through loving others, through caring for others, through being real with each other each and every day. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. And now we come before the Lord to lift our prayers of the community, of ourselves, of the church, of the world. Let us join our hearts and our voices in prayer. Let us pray. O good and gracious God, creator of all that we see, the one who loved us before we were even made, who knows us more than we even know ourselves, we come before you this day with humble hearts, knowing that you know all the cares on our hearts and minds before we even utter them out loud, but knowing that in our relationship and love of you, it is right to bring them to you, to lay them with you so that you might be able to provide for us comfort and care. We bring before you the cares of this world. We bring places that are war-torn, that are struggling with absence of peace, for those people who have no home, for those people who have had things stripped from them due to war, due to challenges of our world. We pray that you would be with them, that you would they would feel your presence, that they would know your peace and your care and your provision. We pray for those who struggle recovering from natural disasters or man-made challenges. We pray that you would help them to find your presence in the midst of destruction, that you would help them to rebuild, that you would help them to find community and care. We pray for this community that you would guide us, that we would feel your call on this world, that we would be able to love one another the way that you have called us to love one another, that you would be able to help us to be real with one another, that we might be able to truly love one another in the depth of the love that you have given through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for this church that you would guide us in all that we do. As the session meets to make decisions, that you would guide our steps, that we would be able to hear your voice, know your presence, and feel your leading. And we pray for us individually, that you would be with those who are struggling with challenges of health, upcoming surgeries, recovering from surgery, health that has been a constant challenge and continues to be with us always. We pray that you would be with those who struggle with grief, grief that might be new or an old friend. We pray that you would give them your peace, that you would give them your comfort, that they would feel your love. We pray for us as we desire to be able to hear your voice and your call on our lives, that we would know what you have called us to do, that we would know the gifts that you have given to each and every one of us, and how we might use those to be able to show your love to all of creation. And we pray for those who are struggling with loneliness or addiction, who are struggling with brokenness of relationship, brokenness of heart or family, brokenness of their bodies, brokenness of any way, that you would bring wholeness in whatever way is able to be brought, that you would bring your peace that passes all understanding to all your children, that we would know that you have made us and claimed us, and that you know us more than we know ourselves, and that you love us more than we can ever imagine. And now, as your beloved children, we bring our voices together to pray the prayer that Christ has taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite you to stand as we join our voices together in singing our closing hymn, number 354, Guide My Feet. Friends, go out into this world, being real with one another, being real with ourselves, being real with God, remembering who we trust in, and remembering how we are to treat others. And may the grace of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of Jesus Christ be with you now and forever. Amen.